Whether on TV, in your Facebook or Instagram feeds, or in conversations with friends, it can seem like happy families are the norm. And if yours isn't happy, it can be hard not to feel embarrassed or even ashamed or guilty.
But for some of us, the healthiest thing we can do is hold a family member at arm's length. That might mean cutting ties completely or just limiting how often you see them and under what circumstances.
Harriet Brown is a professor of magazine journalism at the Newhouse School at Syracuse University. She writes about family estrangement and her own experience in her new book, Shadow Daughter, A Memoir of Estrangement. Harriet, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, you tell your own story in the book, Harriet, and you tell a lot of other people's stories. And as you're researching this, you found out estrangement is maybe more common than people think.
Yes, you know, for so long I thought I was the only person who had this kind of experience. And because there's a lot of stigma around family estrangement, you know, people don't talk about it. But when I started working on the book and started talking to people, looking for stories, I couldn't believe, like, pretty much everyone I talked to had had some experience of estrangement somewhere along the line.
And people might think of estrangement as the worst case, the failure, the bad outcome. For you and a lot of the people you talk to, though, you say, no, estrangement ended up being the best case. It ended up being the best way to live your life.
Yes, so many people, so many of the people I spoke to said estrangement saved my life. And that's how I feel, too. You know, if I hadn't taken the steps I did to cut ties with my mother in my case, I think my life would have gone downhill in a very different way. And so many people feel that way. And there's so much pressure, you know, from the culture to reconcile, get back together. You know, there's all this pressure on families to kind of coalesce. But as you say, for some of us, it's really the best thing is to just walk away.
Now, the story of your relationship with your mother is woven throughout your book, but can you, sum up for us a little bit your experiences growing up from a very early age and why it ended up on this path?
I think that my mother probably was a narcissist, but, you know, that's just my hindsight evaluation, and I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, we were a bad fit in a lot of ways, and I do think that happens in families. For whatever reasons, we never got along. I never felt, acknowledged and seen by her. We fought a lot once I became a teenager. And, you know, once I left home for a long, long time, you know, we kept trying to sort of forge some kind of relationship, but there was a very high cost for me. I don't know about from her side, but for me, trying to be in touch with her caused so much anxiety and depression and, you know, panic attacks and all sorts of things. And eventually I just realized that I needed to walk away. And, you know, sadly, my life became much better once I did that.
And you describe from a very early age your mother being very critical, undercutting you in many different ways as you were growing up. And it seems really like that would be really hard. This is a person who's, in a sense, defining what emotions and relationships are supposed to be and having her create that much doubt in your life. That seems to be a running theme through your relationship with her.
Yeah, and I've heard that from a lot of other people, too. But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know any better. This is your family, and you assume that whatever is happening in your family is normal until you get older and start entering other people's houses and, you know, playing at friends' houses and whatever, and you very slowly start to realize, wait a minute, this isn't the way it always is. There are other ways for this to go, you know. Some people's mothers, one of the things I mentioned in the book that really struck me was someone along the line saying, you know, when I don't feel happy, when I'm sad, upset, whatever, I call my mother and just the sound of her voice makes me feel better. And I realized I never had that feeling about my mother, not once that I can ever remember. And so you kind of realize those kinds of things and you say, wait a minute, this is not, everyone's experience is not this. There's something wrong with this.
Talking to Harriet Brown, her new book is Shadow Daughter, A Memoir of Estrangement. Harriet, you went looking for research into estrangement in families, and one thing that struck me is there's surprisingly little research in the field of estrangement.
There is, and that really struck me too. And one of the very few researchers who is working on this told me that when she pitched this idea to her PhD dissertation committee, they tried to talk her out of it. You know, they said, oh, you're never going to find anyone. You know, it's pretty uncommon and people don't want to talk about it. And luckily, she went ahead with it anyway and was deluged by people who needed to talk about it. And so, you know, we're lucky that she's working on it, because honestly, there's only two researchers who do this sort of in a systemic way in the entire world, as far as we all know. So that's not a lot of research going on. I do think there's a move toward more research, though. I think as we start to talk about this subject and as people begin to sort of understand how common estrangement is and that it sort of exists as a continuum, as a spectrum, it's not just like no contact or full contact, then I think we will see more research, like over the next 10, 15 years, I hope.
With that reluctance, even in the academic world, to tackle this, does that suggest that there's this stigma about this, that there's something wrong with people who are in this situation?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think anyone who's ever been in that situation feels it. I know I did. You know, it was something I tried not to talk about for a long time. And some of the most heartbreaking stories I heard from other people involved the things that they had done in their lives to try to keep that a secret. You know, so I spoke with one woman who was estranged from both of her adult sons as a result of a really, really bad divorce and some domestic violence situations. And she said, you know, I really keep myself to myself. I don't make friends, because how can I say to someone, I'm not in touch with my own children? Like, it's too shameful. And that sort of theme I heard from a lot of people, that you don't want to admit that this relationship that's supposed to be this primal and primary relationship, that it's not working for you. There's got to be something wrong with you if it's not. And that's how we all wind up feeling.
Right. Did I read some of the people you talked to said they'd actually, like, friendships had ended basically after they did reveal that secret that they were estranged, say, from a parent?
Yeah, absolutely. Or sort of started and never got off the ground because friends are thinking, wait, you can't even sustain a relationship with your mother or father or, you know, your family of origin. Like, there must be something really wrong with you. And even if people, I'm not saying that people think that consciously. I mean, maybe sometimes they do, but I think more of the time it's a subconscious thing, because again, our whole culture is predicated on the nuclear family and the family of origin as our basic building block. And there's a lot of good reasons why. You know, evolutionarily we have survived and thrived as a species because of the kind of nurturing that happens in families. So there's a lot of factors that come together to sort of perpetuate this idea that families must be together. So when you are in an estrangement situation, you're going against biology, you're going against culture, you're going against tradition, and it's very threatening for people. And so there is a lot of judgment. I don't think it's just estranged people being sort of, you know, self-conscious about it. I think people do judge, and they do think on some level, gosh, something is really wrong with you.
Yeah, a message that I think you heard and that people you talked to heard over the years was something along these lines. This is your mom or your sibling or your dad or your kid. This is a relationship you can't give up on.
Right. One of the researchers I spoke with, Christina Sharp, talked about, you know, the fact that we think of these relationships as non-voluntary, which, you know, they are, right? I mean, you're born in the family you're born in. You don't get any choice about that. But, you know, that extends into our lives to a level where we feel like no matter what's going on in those relationships, you can't walk away from them. And the truth is that I think as we change as a culture and as a society and as a species even, we are broadening how we think of family. And I think that's one reason this subject is being talked about a little bit more now, as we extend those definitions of family to include, you know, families of choice and families that wouldn't have traditionally been thought of as primary families, then we can start to see, wait a minute, maybe just because you share genetic material doesn't mean you have to stick it out with this group of people.
We're talking to Harriet Brown about her new book. It's called Shadow Daughter, A Memoir of Estrangement.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you estranged from a parent or from an adult child or a sibling? Was it your idea or the other person's? How has that affected you and the rest of the family? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time.
Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Harriet Brown. Her new book is Shadow Daughter, A Memoir of Estrangement.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're estranged from a family member, how has it affected you? Was it a complete break or more of a distancing? If you made the decision to be estranged from a family member, do you feel like it was the right move for you? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll go to your calls now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to address in the NA meetings around Madison and surrounding communities, we have functions during the holidays for people who, you know, part of it is to have fun and gatherings for people in recovery from addiction, and a lot of that arrives at times out of dysfunction in families. And, you know, we encourage people to come to, you know, if they really need to be in a situation where they're safe from a family situation that's not good for them in their recovery.
John, thanks a lot for the call. John, talking about Narcotics Anonymous meetings and gatherings, Harriet, and that's a difficult situation to navigate. Maybe a family member who has hurt you in the course of an addiction. You want to be supportive, but maybe your presence isn't helpful. How do you sort that out?
Yeah, I mean, I think addiction, alcoholism, mental health issues are all big causes of estrangements. And I think the important thing to remember is, as you said earlier, you know, estrangement sometimes is the healthy option. We think of it as a failure, but really what we should be thinking of is what sort of promotes you know, the best quality of life, and especially if you're in some kind of recovery process, what's going to support you and help you most in that process? And sometimes it is taking a break, either temporarily or permanently, from your family.
John, thanks a lot for the call, and best to you as you work on recovery and with your own family. Eddie is with us in Green Bay. Eddie, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Eddie?
What I was wondering is if there is any difference in reference to the research around rape. Do or does estrangement impact families, white families, black families, Latinos, so on and so forth, differently across race?
Eddie, thanks for the call. Harriet, I'm not sure if that's something you looked into or any of the few researchers on this topic have looked into, but have you seen anything out there?
Oh, that's such a great question. I haven't seen anything out there. I think there is so little research to begin with, and I have a strong feeling that the vast majority of the research has been done with white families. I'm hoping that will change as things progress, but, you know, that's a really interesting question, because what we're talking about in part is how does culture and tradition affect people's decisions to walk away? Is it harder in some cultures, easier in others, you know? These are all questions we need to explore. So that's a great question, Eddie.
Eddie, thanks a lot for the call. And Harriet, you do talk about kind of a change over time to a modern age, where from a time when maybe the family was the only thing, there was not an alternative or a choice to be made, to now where maybe we can pick our own family.
Yeah, and so many people do that. This whole notion of families of choice, which is, I think, a really great idea. That, you know, obviously there's people you're related to, and don't get me wrong, I love a lot of people in my family and get along well with them. I'm not dissing families at all, but, you know, there are also those people who you bond with, feel close with over the course of a lifetime, and they are people that you've chosen, that you don't share genetic material with, and that is a wonderful thing, too.
Talking to Harriet Brown, her new book is Shadow Daughter, A Memoir of Estrangement. Back to your calls now. Meg is with us in Middleton. Meg, hi.
Hi.
Hi. What did you want to tell us about today, Meg?
Basically, I think it's more healthy sometimes to stop talking to the person. When my mother died, or before she died, she asked to be taken out of a nursing home. And my sister was saying, no, she's in the best place that she could possibly be in. And she didn't want to be there. She had been in there in and out for the last probably 20 to 15 years. She'd had a heart attack and quadruple bypass and all that. And she just didn't like the nursing home. And so me and my brother took care of her for almost 4 or 5 years at home. And then when she started going downhill, I told her, well, you have to go into the hospital to get rehabilitated, and then I'll take you up to where I live, because I had small children at the time, and I couldn't quit my job as a mother and go down and take care of her. And so she agreed to come back up here with me, and I set up all the medical stuff and everything, set up my house to take care of her and everything. We got a hospital to sign off on the idea of her going for hospice inside our house. And my mother refused to stop talking to her because she just couldn't adjust to the idea of not wanting her back into the nursing home. And I was like, it's okay. You can stay in my house. It doesn't make any difference. It's set up for some tense relationship between when she would come to visit my mom. My mom would talk to the grandchildren. She'd talk to the great-grandchildren, but she would not talk to her own daughter. As a result, after she died, my brother ended up not talking to my sister. And I was still talking to her at this time, even though it was really rough to talk to her. She was still very upset that we had done this. She felt we had done this to her. Now, one other thing, we had to remove her from power of attorney because of what my mom wanted.
Meg, thanks a lot for that call. And Harriet, sometimes an estrangement comes out of years and years of a situation like you and your mother. Sometimes it might be a family dispute, a debate over a really critical issue in someone's life.
Yeah, although I think that when it is something like this caller has described, that's usually what we think of as a last straw incident. You know, there's almost always been things that have led up to it and sort of seeded the way because then something happens, and it's usually at a very tense and difficult time, like the end of someone's life, and people are very upset and emotional, and it just kind of tips them over the edge. So that's a really common kind of story, and I'm so sorry, caller, that you have had to deal with that in your family.
Meg, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Lynn with us in Eau Claire. Lynn, hi. What did you want to tell us about today?
Good afternoon. I'm estranged from my eldest son. I'm sorry. It affects my entire family. Mm-hmm. He's missed funerals. He's a policeman. Another of my sons is also, and they can't communicate, and it has torn us up. It has just torn us up, and it's more than just, you know, petty, my kids having a snit. This is something I have no idea how to mend.
Right. Yeah, that's such a, I'm so sorry, first of all, for how painful it is. It's excruciatingly painful for families, and you're right. It affects the whole family. It doesn't just affect the two people. And I guess my question would be, do you know why the split has happened?
Lynn is off the line now, Harriet.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's something that comes up in the literature, like that often the people who have done the estranging are very clear about why, and the people who are on the other end who didn't choose it often are very unsure what happened. And so so it's very, very painful, but I would encourage families to, you know, I think it's very hard to hear someone say, you know, for many years you have made me feel like this, or our relationship has been hard for me or toxic for me. But I think listening to each other is the only way to sort of mend those relationships.
And thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. And Harriet, as we wrap up, you tried, you and your mother communicated badly, in effect, for decades before you decided, okay, I need this distance now. What was it like when you made that decision?
It was a huge relief, honestly. And I made it from, you know, we had one of our own sort of last straw incidents, which is described pretty thoroughly in the book, but something, that interaction was so toxic, and it was almost, I mean, I didn't even have a choice about it at that point. It was like everything in me, my body, my mind said, oh, I have to walk away. And when I did, it was a huge relief. And of course, it wasn't just a relief. There were a lot of complicated feelings, and there still are, even years after my mother has died. But, you know, in the end, it was absolutely 100% the right thing for me, and my only regret is that I didn't do it much sooner.
Harriet, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much, Rob.
Been talking to Harriet Brown. She's a professor of magazine journalism at the Newhouse School at Syracuse University. She was with us to talk about family estrangement, her own, the research on the topic, and she talked to a lot of other people, surprisingly many people, who have dealt with the issue of family estrangement. A lot of you, clearly, thank you so much for being willing to share your stories by calling in as well. If you want, you can continue to share them over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Harriet's book is called Shadow Daughter, A Memoir of Estrangement.